How about that tribe? Huh? All right. Well, it was the end of a two-game night road stand for us, which was, we knew it was going to be a challenge going in, and I thought our kids prepared extremely well for it, and the atmosphere over in West Lafayette was great, and I was amazed at how many of our people found their way. You know, I understand we filled both end zones, but I don't know how the heck they got those tickets on the sides. But the Buckeye fans are unbelievable, and the energy that they provided was extremely helpful, and thought our kids came out of the gate, and it started with what might seem a little bit insignificant, but a kickoff through the end zone, making Purdue start on the 20 instead of starting on the 30, like they'd been starting most of the time, 30 or better. I think they were third in the nation in kickoff returns going into the game. Was very significant, and our defense went to work and seized the tempo of the game and really never let that tempo go. Offensively, we scored two touchdowns early. I was disappointed we didn't score more touchdowns than that, but it was a heck of a thing that Ryan Pretorius banged three field goals through there, because points are critical, especially on the road, and I thought our kids played physical and you know, were in command of the situation, and that crowd being there certainly buoyed them as well, and so we get a chance to come home with a road victory, which is huge in the Big Ten. We had some outstanding performers. Sean Lane was our special units player of the week. He's on all four units, the kickoff return, punt return. Did a great job on all of them. Excellent execution. I believe he's the one that caused that fumble that, you know, again, knocked the wind out of their sails. You know, he just did a heck of a job on all those units and won that award. The defensive player was Chimney Chikwa, and Chimney did a great job out there in open field tackling, had 10 or 11 tackles, which is, if you don't make open field tackles, all of a sudden they're screaming down the field, and he did a heck of a job there. And he has really grown in his role. He's given our defensive coaches the flexibility of moving Malcolm back to safety in the nickel situations, and really done a nice job out there in a very difficult position. The offensive player of the game was Alex Boone. One thing we knew going into the game, that their edge players were very, very quick. They were kids that made sacks and played around blocks and made minus yard plays and so forth, and we felt we needed excellent play on the edges for both pass protection and so that we could run on the edge, and both those things happened. Not only was Alex the offensive player of the game, but Kirk Barton was the Jim Parker offensive lineman of the game. And so both those edge players, both those guys that we counted on to be strong for us, stepped up and had a heck of a game over there and were recognized. The attack force player of the week was Marcus Freeman. Marcus has had the fortune of having more snaps. Unfortunately, Ross Holman has been banged up and will probably miss this week as well, and maybe a couple more. Marcus Freeman's taken advantage of that opportunity. They shared a lot of playing time. They both deserve to play, and Marcus has been playing more now than he had been in the first few games and been very, very productive. And he plays the pass well. He blitzes well. He plays the run well. He's smart. He and James Laurinaitis get us lined up there and make the adjustments and so forth, and Marcus Freeman was the attack force player. We had three or four nominations for the Jack Tatum Hit of the Week. We will vote this afternoon, so we'll get that message out to you as quickly as we can. And then the scout units were good again for the second straight week. We mentioned 3 weeks ago that it wasn't really what we needed for our preparation to make sure we had the right looks and have as good a work as we needed to prepare for the game, and our guys have responded and had another good week of preparation there, and that's going to be critical as the time you practice shrinks a little bit as the season goes on, and it's trying to stay healthy and daylight starts disappearing and so forth, that the quality of your looks need to be there, because you don't have time to repeat things. You don't have time to do it again and make sure we get it right. And so we really need to put a lot of emphasis on that, and those guys delivered this week. Our Scout Special Units Player of the Week was Donnie Evich. Donnie's going to be a good player here. Probably at this point in time, we'll end up redshirting him unless we would get a rash of injuries. And Donnie's going to be a good player, and we're happy he's here. The Scout Defensive Player is a young guy named Tom Ingham, a walk-on from over at Centerville. Centerville sent us a lot of great products, and Tom did a great job there on that defensive line and was actually nominated by the old linemen. They came in and pounded their fist on the table a little bit on Sunday, which doesn't happen very often on behalf of a scout team player, and Tom was recognized with the defensive scout team player of the week. And then Scott Sika, walk-on offensive lineman from Strongsville, did a nice job helping that group get better and better, and he was recognized as our offensive scout team player of the week. As we move forward, the thing that we've got to make sure we do is continue to improve at the pace we've been improving, because as you look out ahead, that's what it's going to take. We said last week that we'd been making solid steps, one step at a time, and that we understood that the Purdue step was going to be a little bit steeper step, and we made that step, and we've got to continue that momentum as we go. It begins with practice and film preparation. One of the things that someone on the national call asked about our defense, and they've been excellent. And they asked if we could, what one thing comes up in your mind about your defense, and the thing I said was preparation. Our defense does an excellent job preparing. Our defensive staff, Coach Haycock, Coach Fickle, and Coach Johnson and Coach Haynes do a great job preparing. Our players do a good job practicing, and then they continue to prepare. They continue to study the film. They continue to try to really understand the plan that we have. And I think they go into the game because of their preparation with confidence. When you really know what you want to do and you have a good handle on what they do, you're confident that you can get the job done because, they're very capable. We have talented kids. But we have to make sure we continue that type of preparation. It's math midterm time on our campus, as we have some students from our public relations class here, and they know it's that time of the quarter for us, and especially our young guys will be missing some practice here today and tomorrow because the math department happens to have their tests at 5:30 and 6:30 and that type of thing, and there are always help sessions for the whole class the hour prior to the test, and so we're going to be missing a number of our guys here in the next 2 days. We've got to make sure that we make up that preparation time and we continue to make take the steps that we've been taking. As you watch Kent on film, Kent had a tough ball game against Miami, and that was a battle. They went back and forth, and you watch their OU game, it was the same kind of thing. You watch their Kentucky game, it was 14-14 at the half. You watch their Iowa State game, and they came away from Ames with a victory. They're tough kids. You'll love watching their quarterback. You'll love watching that little running back. He is special. And those wideouts are good. And defensively, they play a very similar style of defense that we do. A lot of pressure. They load up the box and dare you to pass. And when you want to pass, they're bringing more guys than you can block. And I'm a little biased. Their defensive coordinator, Pete Rex, has played for me at Youngstown State and coached for me at Youngstown. And he does a great job with that group. So we've got to go to work this afternoon and get prepared as the Kent State Golden Flashes come to town. Questions? Oh, yeah. It seems to be fine. He was ready to go back in. And it gets stung occasionally. When you've had an ankle banged up or a wrist or, whatever, and you get it stung, you have to go and take a deep breath and count to 10, and then you're usually ready to go back, hopefully. And he was ready to go back in, but at the point in time, we didn't think that it was necessary. But no, he should be fine. Well, you know, I kind of led with that thought. It was amazing. You go to a stadium like that, that all the discussion was it was going to be a blackout, and, you know, it was going to be an atmosphere that was really going to energize Purdue and so forth. And it was a great atmosphere, but there was a lot of scarlet showing as well. And we gave them something to cheer about early, you know, which helped and got them riled up. You know, we appreciate that. There had to be over 20,000 people there from what we hear, and that makes a difference.
During the first BCS ring, just like, can you kind of tell what your personal viewpoint is on BCS, how successful it's been, and how much credit you should
give? You know, I think the time at which the BCS ratings come out is probably a good time for a first poll. You know, it's probably better than, it'll be more accurate than the poll that comes out in August, and I know, you know, it won't sell magazines in August if we don't have a poll and all that stuff, but, you know, I think it's a good time, it's the right time, and I know back when we were in 1AA, the poll didn't come out until they announced who was in the playoffs, and, you know, so you're always kind of hoping you're going to be in that group or whatever, but we won't get too involved with it because there's nothing we can do other than progress and take care of our end of things. But I think it's a good time. I think the BCS, I'm sorry to answer the second half of your question, I think the BCS has been as successful as anything you could possibly have. We've been doing it for, 10 years now maybe, thereabouts. And there have been some moments where you thought, well, this team maybe should have been in the top two, you know, and they ended up third or whatever. But we had that in 1AA where they picked 16, and we were mad one time. We were 17th. So, and I swear we would have won it that year, you know. So I think it's been successful.
Yeah, I'm impressed with you with your team, though, at this point, based on the way things have gone. Are you impressed?
Well, I'm impressed with their willingness to work hard on the task at hand. We haven't had every practice perfect. We haven't had everything done as well as we think we're capable of doing it. But I think they want to. And I think we do a pretty good job of correcting things when we do error. I think they want to get things done the right way. I reserve my being impressed until I see, you know, how we are at the end of the year and how our grades are and et cetera, et cetera.
But is there a part of this team that you've seen come along faster than you thought it would, or any part of it like that?
Well, you know, a guy who was a relative unknown as to how he would do was like a chimney checkbook. And here he was, he redshirted last year, spent the whole year on scout team and chasing our guys around and trying to chase Teddy Ginn and Anthony Gonzalez and Roy Hall and B. Hart and Robisk and all those guys. And now here he is, he's player of the week in the Big Ten. I mean, I'm not sure I would have predicted that a year ago, but he's a worker. You know, use that word preparedness with about our defense. Jimmy Chekwe is in the weight room. He's not very, I don't know what he weighs, but he is strong. And he spends time preparing. He spends time in the film room, practices extremely hard. I remember when Ahmed Plummer was here last year as a volunteer guy in the weight room, trying to decide which direction he was going to go after pro ball. Did he want to coach? And just took him 1 year with us to find out he's not working that many hours. Chimney used to grab a man all the time and say, you know, talk to me about this or that, and that's just the kind of guy he is, and that's the way you progress, so that would be one that would jump up to me that, I'm not saying faster than I thought, but, you know, he's done a heck of a job.
Is
don't know if you consider wrecking some guys for the rest of the state. Tends to get those for the rest of the state.
Well, they say when you rest, you rust. You know, we're not. We're going, putting a game plan together, and those that deserve to be in the game and deserve to stay in the game once they're in it, will play. And yeah, is it difficult playing a non-conference game in the middle? Yeah, because many times you can say, okay, non-conference, okay, we did, that's over, and now. Let's focus on the Big Ten race, or in their case, focus on the MAC race. But there's nothing we could do about it. We have 11 teams in our league, so someone's always going to have, either a bye next year, because there'll be byes next year, or this year they're going to have, someone other than a Big Ten team, and just the way it is, and we can't spend any time worrying about. We'd rather have it the other way. We've got to get better. Today and Saturday, Coach Bruce used to always tell us, you're getting better, you're getting worse, and we got to get better. We haven't talked about that type of thing, because again, it's about, what are we doing, and if we think that we're capable, if we play the best we're capable of playing, we're capable of being successful. And so that's what we have to focus on. And we really, they asked me after our game, what did I think about USC losing? I didn't know USC lost, but I wasn't thinking about those types of things when we're in a game. And hopefully we're not thinking about anything other than getting better. Turnovers. That's just a guess. Would you say Coach Bruce? No? Yeah? Okay. Strike that from the record. You guys should have more fun if Earl was up here. Yeah, I think whatever mistakes created your poor performance than you're capable of, many times can be traced to you weren't focused on the task at hand. Now, sometimes it's dumb luck, the ball gets deflected and whatever, but usually, you can have a bearing on the outcome of your performance, if you are capable. We're certainly hoping not. I don't know the answer to that, obviously, but. Our guys are interested in getting better, and so I'd like to think they'll keep rolling their sleeves up, one of those, you make your greatest improvement on Saturdays. You improve a lot in practice, but boy, it's not tested at game speed until Saturday, and we need to improve. The thing I took away after watching the film is that I really think Todd progressed. There were a couple times where, in fact, the one time I remember where he got hit late down in the red zone, we had to kick a field goal, and when he came off, he mentioned, we should have adjusted our route to such and such, and that's what I was waiting for, and that was too late because they were bringing a full blitz, And you know what? When you watch the film, he was exactly right. And as you watch the film, his understanding seems to continue to grow. We said going into the game, don't overthrow the deep ones. We're going to go up and get them. Or break them up. And we didn't do that on a couple. the one interception at the beginning of the second half is probably the one that concerns me the most. Because really, you should have thrown it away. Second and 10, who cares? Let's go. But the other two, it wasn't real bad where he put them. He'll be practicing and with us and so forth. Personal reasons.
Coach Martin said that he and Harris Graham had not had any recent conditions. How does one under Coach Bill's tradition of the
question? Well, you have to begin creating tradition of your own. Now, when you have a head start at a place like Ohio State, but still, you can't live on whether old Bruce did or John Cooper or Woody Hayes or Paul Brown or, you know, whatever. You better, you know, build a little tradition of your own. And I think, as I've watched Doug and his program, I think, and again, I'm a little biased because I stay in close contact with Pete Rexus, but I think they've done a heck of a job. And you know, they got it rolling pretty good last year, and then got banged a little bit and lost a few at the end that kept them from going to a bowl. And you know, you watch their games this year, the games that they lost the turnover margin, like 4-2 or something, they were losing the game. The games they win the turnover margin, like Ohio U, who I think is a solid team, you know, they decisively won the game. So, you know, they're not far from becoming a lot more consistent. And, you know, and that's what he's doing. He's in the midst of building, you know, the tradition that, you know, they can then build on the vivid recall of that. And I think they're doing a good job. Whatever limits? Yeah, we want him to carry, you know, 5 or 6 times, and I think he did. You know, I don't know that we would want him to carry 25 times. We'll know a little bit more during the practice week. He's one of those freshmen that's going to miss. I think he'll miss all of Wednesday based upon his exam schedule. So he'll get a lot of reps today, see how that goes, because he's not only going to hopefully play more on Saturday, but he's going to hopefully practice more, and we'll see how that goes. But he came out of the game fine, and then Thursday he'll get X number of reps, and I'd like to think he'll be available for more duty than he was last weekend, but we'll see how the game unfolds. I didn't bring that up, but yeah. Well, it definitely is a part of what we believe in from a scheduling standpoint now that we're playing 12-game schedules. So we want to play someone from out there in the country that we don't normally get to play, like we did with Texas and Washington and SC coming up and so forth. And then next thing that's important to us is home games. We have 36 sports, which is, you know, the largest in the country, and you know, that's very, very important for us to be able to help with a comprehensive program. And so we give the in-state people first opportunity if their schedule allows. There's some years where we have 3, like this year, and I think there's a year coming up where we don't have any, somewhere in 9 or 10 or somewhere in there. But you know, we would like them to have, you know, nothing like playing in Ohio Stadium. He's good. I tell you, I don't sit and watch the opposing offense that much, but as I'm watching the defense, I look at the play-by-play as I'm going. So as I looked on the play-by-play, plus 17, plus 21, plus 13, plus 9, plus 14, this guy, he makes things happen. He was, I think he's 5th in the country, you know, somewhere in there. And, you know, he is a little bit, you know, like Garrett Wolf, and we had a tough time with Garrett Wolf. Oh, the Tribe is, you know, we're going into this next series fresh. CC didn't have to go twice. Carmono didn't have to go twice. And, you know, they didn't take us to the full five, so we're a little fresher, and we'll take two and hit the right. That's an easier answer than the first one. Lawrence Wilson, I would say our best case scenario, again, without making a medical proclamation of any kind, is that he would be back for a postseason game. As far as Todd goes, I'm kind of thinking Todd will be ready. We'll probably not go very hard today, and then ramp it up on Wednesday, and hopefully Thursday he's at full speed, and I'd like to think he wasn't that far because of the adrenaline and so forth from going Saturday, but we just didn't think it was in his best interest.
Yeah, is there anything at this point here that they have scheduled that surprises you most in Western Conference, whether Illinois has gone or
you know, I felt, and I said to you guys many times, that this is going to be a much better Big Ten in 2007 than it was in 2006. I just feel that as you look at all the teams and look at the whole group, there's a lot of good football teams in our league. And, you know, so I'm not surprised a bit about Illinois doing what they're doing. I think they're an outstanding team. I thought that last year. Indiana doesn't surprise you as their quarterback develops, and I think I mentioned to you guys after week one that, you know, don't worry, Michigan will be back. And so we've got good teams. It starts with communication and decisions, and they're communicating and making really good decisions right now. You know, I think as we evaluate all of our position groups, we talk to them all the time that things that we need to do better, and they're no exception. I mean, they need to do some things better. But I think it begins with your communication and making sure you're blocking things the right way. People give you so many different looks in this day and age on defense, and if you happen to have your calls right, it really can help you, and I think we've been doing a good job with that. And the more confident we get and the more polished we get, I think that allows you, you know, to play even more physical and more confident, more sure, and I'd like to think that that's where we can move as the season goes. Yeah, they had a good high school team, and their coach kept saying, "Hey, the best guy is this guy," and they had one of their players commit early to a school, and he kept saying, "I'm telling you, this guy's got great character, great work ethic." Not that the other one didn't, but you know. And so we kept following up, and Tim Beckman and Daryl Hazel were the guys involved. And they went down and watched in December at an all-star practice, getting ready for an all-star game. And they said, "Oh my gosh, we think the one that the coach thinks, you know, is the top gun is." And so we went after it right then, and we're excited that Jimmy is with us. Well, the only reason you would do that was if you thought that you were further injuring something. And at this moment, our medical people don't think that that's the case. But now, if there's ever a point where they do, then you absolutely would do that. But at this moment, you know, from a medical standpoint, there's not a feeling that way at all.
Something. We've seen a couple of new strategies that you might want to put in there or something like that. And the new strategy we've seen is that hopefully away from the last one is called time not before the hit. We thought last night's off a little bit, now one is going forward, you can get hard. Is that a pretty popular thing?
Well, it's funny, we were talking about that last week in our Thursday checklist meeting with our staff, and it almost doesn't seem like that's why the rule was created that you could call from the sideline. Because I can remember for years the coach screaming and yelling at someone to get their attention to the player had to do the timeout. And I don't know that the rule was changed such that you could call a timeout from the sideline for the purpose of doing those things. But like anything else, it's within the rules. And whether it's within the purpose of the rule, I don't know. But I don't know what it adds to the game.
I want to ask you, from a defensive standpoint, it didn't seem that you played three down linemen, but that never worked much this year. You took a linebacker out. It looked like you went with three down linemen most of the game last year against Purdue. Can you talk about coming up with a wrinkle like that and executing it when you really had to play it? I mean, does that just speak even more about
Well, our guys had used that probably 35 or 40 snaps leading up to that game. In fact, in 2002, we used it the whole game against Purdue. And we were a little banged on the front. So it made perfect sense to our coaches. That it wasn't like they invented a new defense for the game, and we played every one of those defenses before, but we probably hadn't played them as much. And the other thing it does is it gets a little more speed on the field, and we thought that Purdue had excellent quickness with that core of receivers, and when you have a tight end like Purdue's, it was so fast. That was like having, four wideouts in the game at all times, even though he lined up as a tight end. And so our people thought that it made sense to add speed to the field, and it just seemed to be the right thing to do, and it ended up being the right thing to do. Well, you'd like to think that they're comfortable and confident, at the same time realistic. Realistic with the understanding of how much improvement we need to make. Realistic with understanding that the challenge that remains, but they seem to, have a good head on their shoulders. I'd like to think that, that'll continue.
Jim, what do you anticipate doing here forward on kickoff? Is it good and you're not looking for it?
I don't know that Pretorius kicked off other than maybe a pooch. Did he do a pooch? Oh, yeah. No. Right now, Good and Trapasso are, that's our two deep on kickoff. I don't know that we have enough data to say one over the other. They both had a couple real nice ones, and they both had a couple knuckleballs there. But I hope we get more consistent with that kind of distance. I think that'll help us. He's already redshirted. So I wouldn't expect Aaron back until early November, from what I hear from the medical folks. One last question, Lori.
You talked about the difficulty playing an out-of-conference game at this point in the season. Was there a certain type of opponent that would make that transition easier and the steps taken to that mold?
I think the things that they do offensively and defensively are going to be healthy for us to have to face. They come after you with their defense. They play a lot like some of our opponents coming up. Offensively, they bring a quarterback into the mix who you have to account for in the run game. I think Edelman ran 22 times on Saturday, and that'll be healthy because we've got a lot of that out in front of us. I think the things that they're doing are going to be a heck of a challenge for us, and hopefully we can grow with our understanding of how to cope with those things. We have, who here, Shelly? Shelly's not here. Okay, someone's out there to see you. Shekwa and Hardline, okay.